Welcome to the Philadelphia branch of Lighthouse Chapel International, under the leadership of the Presiding Bishop Dag Hayward Mill. This denomination has grown with several branches all over the world. We are delighted to come your way with the anointed Word of God, which is able to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned with your heart to receive God's Word through His servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Doer of the work,
the word of God.
Yes, 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 yes. In Jesus' name. Father, we are so grateful to you this morning. Thank you for this Sunday morning. Thank you that we are in your presence. And thank you for your word that is coming forth. Let your word come to teach us. Let it come to direct us. Let it come to heal us. Let it come to deliver us. And thank you that your word this morning shall even light upon us and yield results. We are grateful and we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. In the presence of the Lord. Amen. Ask your neighbor, the neighbor, are you a believer? Say, do you believe? Amen. I think a lot of times we come to church, but we don't believe. Because if we believe, we will do more of what we hear and we'll get results. How many of you want results in your life? Yes. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Then he says in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Amen. So you see, when you just hear the word and you don't mix it with faith, in other words, you don't believe it. You see, and one of the surest signs of believing a word is that you do it. Anything that you believe, you do. You believe that cars can take you places. That's why you sit in a car and actually do drive and do go to places. So when you believe in something, the proof that you believe in it is that you actually do it. Yeah, that's a proof. The proof that you believe is that you do it. And many times, what we hear, it does not profit us. You see, that's why people can come to church for years and still nothing profitable comes out of their lives. Yeah. People can come to church for a long time, hear the same, at the point it even begins to become boring to you. And your life is not profitable. So for you to actually profit from what you hear, you must do it. And you can only do it when you believe it. Amen. Lift up your hand and say, help me, God, to believe your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we are talking about greatness. You see, there's a prophetic word for the year for us that this is our year of greatness. Ask your neighbor, that you still believe it? Some of you are smiling. Ask your neighbor, that are you sure you believe it? If you believe it, lift up your hand and say, this is my year of greatness. Say, this is surely my year of greatness. In fact, why don't you get up from your seat and go and shake somebody and say, this is my year of greatness. Get up from your seat, shake somebody, say, this is my year of greatness. 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 I believe it. Amen. All right, come back to your seats. Those who believe it and actually mixing it with faith will achieve greatness. Yeah, we're almost one third or one quarter way through the year, isn't it? Yeah, and greatness is knocking at our doors. Greatness is appearing in our lives. Greatness is coming into our lives. Amen. Believe it. Believe it. Mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. It didn't profit those people we read about in Hebrews chapter 4 because they did not mix it with faith. But we are mixing it with faith. And therefore, we are going to see greatness. Hallelujah. Now, greatness, when we say greatness, you see, a very good example of a great person was King David. Yeah, because the Bible says he died at a good old age. He was full of years. He was full of riches. He was full of honor. Yeah, and to top it all, the Bible says his son took over from him. That's greatness. So when we talk about greatness, it is not just one area of your life. Yeah, it is not just one area of your life. If you are great, you are great totally. Every aspect of your life ought to be great. You must be succeeding in every area. And one of the areas that you need to succeed is marriage. Yeah, you have to have a great marriage. If you don't have a great marriage, you can't be great. Yeah. There are people whose marriages, not necessarily because of them, it failed. I always tell people who have marital challenges who come sit with me and talk with me that, you know, don't let this marriage end because of you. In other words, you should not be the cause. Yeah. You play your part well. And if it's going to end, let it be the other partner. And if it's not, your God will surely bless you. Amen. I believe that we are in a good church. Yes, we are in a good church. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Auntie Evelyn. Yeah. You see, sometimes you must even ask yourself, even the relative way of the relative ease with which you have access to even help. Yeah. If I had a question, if I had a marital question or I had something that I needed help with, maybe me a little person, maybe a little something, and everybody has a little something. There's nobody without an exception. I can call Apostle Joel at 2 a.m. Yeah. Esther has called me at 1 a.m. before. Yeah. So sometimes you should even look at the way you have access to people. My door is there. Sunday, we are either the last people to leave, me and Lady Pastor, or one of the last people to leave. If you want to talk to me, I have time. I have time. Yeah. Who said it? Okay. Abayma, we've been talking. Yeah. It's amazing. Because that's the culture of this church. Everybody is accessible. Yeah. There are some churches when you go, I'm not comparing us to somebody, but there are some you can't talk to a pastor. Hey. Appointment. Yeah. There'll be an appointment and there'll be a wait time. By here, come on. Yeah. Recently I was chatting with somebody around 9:45. I said, do you see, would you have access to a pastor at 9:45 p.m. to discuss issues? It's a great thing. Amen. So we are not the very, very, very best church, but we are trying. We're a good church. Amen. So I'm talking about marriage. And for you to have a great or to for you to be great, your marriage also ought to be great. Yeah. So you will have a great marriage. I said you will have a great marriage. And you are having a great marriage. And for those of you not married yet, you will have a great marriage. Yes. And those of you who are not married, it's okay. You learn about great marriage. You can help people, and you would also have a great marriage. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians. And today we have a lot of things to do. So I'm going to go as quickly as I can. And at the point I'll stop and we will continue. Because we want to have our chapel meeting today. Amen. So go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll pick it up from, I believe we left somewhere. But let's read the whole thing again. It's fine. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, instructions for marriage. I believe this piece of passage has all that you need to make your marriage great. So he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. So in this passage, again, I'm saying are the keys to a successful marriage. It's amazing how God looks at marriage. There is nothing else that God compares marriage to or compares the church to other than marriage. God is saying that the relationship between a wife and a husband and a husband and a wife is like the relationship between the church and Christ. Period. It's the highest relationship. Highest. Highest relationship that we can ever have between two people. Amen. Now, there are some guidelines or rules, or you can call them commands, within this passage that pertain to wives. And there are commands that also pertain to husbands. And there are also commands here that pertain to the two. Amen. So the week before, I believe we spoke about being one flesh, the unity, the fact that you ought to be one. I think I don't want to go back in, otherwise I'll preach it again and we'll move forward. So today I'm going to start talking about I can't talk about both at the same time. Do you understand? So if you're a husband here or a wife here, and I'm talking about husbands, make sure you return to hear also about wives. Amen. Is that all right? Okay. So, let's talk about rules or guidelines or keys. Let's call it keys. It's better. Keys to marriage as seen in Ephesians chapter 5. All right? So, key number one. Verse 23, we're talking about husbands. Keys for husbands. So greatness in marriage, keys for husbands. Greatness in marriage, keys for husbands. Key number one, in verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Yeah. For the husband is the head of the wife. Yeah, I'm not the one saying it. Or when we came to church, they told us that the husband is the head. No, the Bible is saying it, and God is saying it. Amen. Now, what does it mean to be a head? Do you have a head? Touch your head. Don't spoil your hair, but touch your hair. You feel your head? So what does it mean to be a head? Now, let me begin first by saying this, that, you see, heads don't make themselves heads. Heads are heads by function. You see, whenever you, have you gotten up and your head is trying to struggle to tell your hands and your feet that it is the head? There's something wrong. Yeah. When you get to the point where a head is trying to tell that he's the head, it's a problem. It means that something is not working. Something is gone astray a little bit. Yeah? Because heads are just heads, basically because of the functions that they are performing. So what am I saying? So in order for a husband to claim this passage, you must really function as the head. I mean, you cannot just be there and just be eating the biggest piece of chicken, the biggest piece of chicken thighs and turkey thighs and the best portion of everything that is cooked. And you say that you are the head. No. That's what I'm talking about. For you to even claim to be the head, you must be functioning as the head. Yeah. Are you here? Are there some husbands here? Give me a shout of hallelujah. You are too quiet. Yeah. You have to be the head. You have to behave like the head, act like the head, function like the head. You see, a head is responsible. A head is responsible. Yeah. A head is responsible. A head is responsible. A head is accountable. You are standing for the sisters. Go ahead. Yeah. A head takes blame. You see, when something goes wrong in your, if you are really the head, you are the cause of it. Yeah. Leaders, in fact, if something were to go wrong in this church, if Apostle Joel were just to come here, Bishop, I'm the one that they are going to ask that, why did this happen? If a lot of times I'm asked questions that it doesn't have anything to do with me directly, but because I'm the acting head here, I don't fight, I don't come to, and I come and stand on the chair. Hey, I'm the head, oh, I'm the head, oh, you must see me, I'm the head, oh. Do you know that I'm the head? No, I don't do that. You see, but just by function of the responsibility and the fact that I'm acting and functioning as a head, there's no question. So you see, husband, the day you start functioning, and if you can begin to function, and that's why we're looking at this, you see. So begin to have another meaning to the head. Don't just say head. Small argument on the head. You know I'm the head. Sit down here, you know, sit down. Raise your hand, kneel down. No, that's not how it works. Are you understanding? Yes. So that is the head. And I believe that once you begin to even, you know, conduct yourself that way, you don't have to even say. Just like how the head in the morning does not wake up and say, hey, I'm the head, oh, hands, be quiet. Hey, I'm the head. You know, I'm on top. I conduct everything. Now, being head also, this is another thing. You see, You must, if you are really the head, you must also then become also very spiritually responsible. Yeah. Do you know that when the head is dead, everything is dead? Yeah. I hunt, and there are some animals that, in fact, most times the head is a target. See, if you want to shoot an animal head, apart from big one like deer, you go for the chest. But turkey, or the head, it's finished. So you are like a target. And you must understand and wake up. Stop sleeping. It's amazing that can you forgive me for what I'm about to say? It's the truth. That wives are the ones who are even most active with most things. They are the ones who pray more. It's true. In fact, in my marriage, there was a time that my wife was, in fact, she's still very powerful, but I mean, she prayed far more, studied the word far more, spent more time with the word far more. Yeah. But when my eyes were open, I said, hey, I got to rise up. I have to rise up. I have to rise up. I have to rise up. You can't call yourself a head and you are just sleeping and snoring. And in addition, you don't even allow her to do what she has to do. She's waking up to pray in the morning. You are holding her down. Don't you know it's called by me? Leave her. Let her go and pray. Yeah, leave her to pray. You are even lucky that you have an active wife who is actually taking leadership spiritually. You see, it's like a reserve player playing. That's what it is. They are not the ones supposed to be playing, but you are the one, but you are sleeping. You see, and it's just part. You must wake up. You see, so let's stop this thing about I'm the head. If you are really the head, I'm telling you, if you start doing all these little things, you realize that things will change. Amen. You like it? Number two. I'm going to mix and match it. Okay, we're not going to go necessarily verse by verse. Let's go to verse 31. Verse number 31, Ephesians 5. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You see, this verse, are you listening? When you read it, sometimes, I have been in that position before. You would generalize it and say, for this reason, a man. You say, so for this reason, and also for this reason, a woman. Do you get it? For this reason, a man and a woman. So, in other words, a lot of times we say it applies to both. But look at the context of it. He had finished talking to wives, then he came to the husband. So this is a specific, you see, it doesn't mean a woman. A woman, you must also leave your parents. You see, but this is a specific, pointed instruction to a man. You see, most of the things that is said here in Ephesians chapter 5 are general things. Huh? He says to the husband, laugh. I mean, every Christian is supposed to laugh. You're supposed to love each other, isn't it? He says submit. Why submit? Everybody's supposed to submit. We're supposed to submit one to another. In fact, if you look at the preceding verse, verse 20, 21 or so, you see it's submitting one to another. So it is a specific thing that God is saying to a specific person, because that specific person has the tendency to fall trap to that particular issue. So he says, for this reason, a man, so he's talking to a man. He's talking to a husband. He says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother. He shall leave his father and mother. Husbands ought to leave their father and their mother. You have to leave. Wow. Ask your neighbor that, have you left? Listen. Listen. You see, the scripture talks about the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel. It sounds so simple. You see, in your simple mind, you can't feel, if I leave my father and mother, how would this make my marriage better? You see, but this is what I was saying in the beginning. If you want to actually gain, if you actually want to gain, you have to begin to believe and do these things and meditate on these things and then give yourselves wholly to these things. Then the Bible says, your profiting shall appear unto all. That's it. You want your marriage to work? You want to have a good marriage? You want to have a good marriage. You want to have a good marriage that works. Then do these things. So a husband has to leave according to the word of God. This is one of the rules or keys. I don't want to call it rules because it sounds harsh. But keys to a successful marriage. So how do you leave? Number one, you leave physically. Location. Yeah, you have to physically leave. You see, I come from a tribe called We Are Gans. You know, we say the kwa. You see, we talk like that. We are Gans. We are Gans. See? And we have the tendency to stay with mommy and poppy. Yeah. From where I come from, it's not a very uncommon thing to see a man who is married. He's married though, with children. But he's actually still in the house. Then they'll give him maybe 3-4 bedroom. Then they'll give you one room. And sometimes it's not even a compound house. They'll give you one bedroom. Then you and your wife are in there. Then your father, your mother, and his wife, who is your father, your mother, and who is his, that means his, your father and his wife, are also next door. Then when your other sibling also marries, he also takes the third bedroom. So one day I heard one of my relatives long ago say that, this my in-law is so disrespectful. I came home and she was lying in my bed. Yeah, because you're in the same house. But it is your responsibility as a husband. You have to leave. Tap your husband and say, it's time to leave. Or if you are afraid, tell your husband, the pastor says that God says that it's time to leave. Say it that way. Blow. Why are you looking at Sister Eunice like that? You are not smiling. Don't worry. When I start preaching about Sister Eunice, you'll be very happy. So you have to live physically. Number two, you also have to live economically and financially. Yes, you have to live economically and financially. When you are married, mommy and daddy should not be the ones whose hands are in your account. Listen, I'm not saying don't honor your father. I'm not saying don't honor your mother. You ought to honor them. You need to take care of them. I send money to my mom. But my mom is not the determinant or the one who determines my finances. My dad went to be with the Lord years ago. But if he was alive, he would not be the one determining my finances. He should not be the one calling the shots. Do this, do that, do that. Do. No, 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 no. I have a wife and I have children. Yeah, thank you. I'm preaching. I like your support. Yeah. Are you here? Yeah. Nat, you just got married recently. You have to leave. You understand? You live physically and you live economically. Leave. Number three, you have to leave close friends. Close friends. I'm broadening it now. You have to leave close friends, especially friends of the opposite sex. I have a favorite answer to people who ask me questions, and I get that very often. Oh, my husband is talking to this girl. I don't like it. My first thing is I will turn to the husband and say, is your wife a kind of wife who complains about every person that you talk to? Every person you talk to. I mean, if you're a wife and you can't stand your husband talking to anybody, then your husband can't be a pastor. That's wrong. You see, that's wrong. That's not godly jealousy. There's something wrong with you. But when you have a level-headed wife who is not every day, don't talk to this person, don't talk to this person, don't talk to this person, don't talk to the point that you are even feeling isolated. I mean, when you come to church, you are like this because you can't talk to anybody. Someone say, hi, say. Even before you do this, you are looking to see whether she's around. No. Do you understand? So, if you are not like that, then the answer is very... I feel wives have a certain intuitive, sensitive thing. If a wife says, look, I don't like you talking to this person, believe it. Yeah, believe it. Because they are seeing something that you do not see. I mean, I don't even see why you are still talking to an old boyfriend, an old girlfriend, somebody that you should not, you used to. Why are you still hanging around and lingering around? And the person's your friend on Facebook, the person's your friend on Twitter, the person's your friend on LinkedIn, the person's on your friend everywhere. You still have their mess, their phone numbers and their second lines, their third lines, their fourth line. When one line is engaged, you know which one to call. I mean, why? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not like that. 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 Yeah. So we are talking about greatness in marriage. Greatness in marriage. If you are like that, your marriage cannot be great. You see, because you are not following biblical principles. So from today, stop it. See, stop talking to the old Limomo. Do you know Limomo? Limomo means, in my language, it means old firewood. Seasoned firewood. It is true they burn, but stop talking to them. Amen. So these are the things that you need to leave when you're a husband. Leave if you want your marriage to work. All right? Let me give you the third key and then we'll take communion. Key number three. Are you ready for key number three?
It's three.
Same verse. That's why I want to end that with that verse. Same verse. All right? Verse 31. The second part says, so it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. They two shall be one flesh. Now, this verse actually is also partly a quotation from Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 5. Jesus also said the same thing, isn't it? It said, Matthew 19, 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, and they twain, the two, shall be one flesh. Are you understanding? So what does it mean to cleave? What does it mean to cleave? What does it mean to cleave? To cleave. All right? To cleave means to glue. Huh? So God is actually saying that for your marriage to be great, the relationship between you and your wife as a man, and again, he's specifically talking to a man, but it also applies to a woman. Do you get that? Because when he says wives or husbands love your wives, the expectation is also for a wife to, it's also for a wife to love, but because that's more of a problem of a husband, I'll come to it next week. That is why the instruction went to the husband. Now, husband, love your wife. In other words, you have a tendency not to love your wife, so love her. I'm reminding you, and I'm telling you, love your wife. So cleaving is gluing, sticking. For your marriage to be successful, you need to be glued to your wife. Nothing should separate you. Nothing. I mean, super glue. Crazy glue. If you joke with it and you are working with it and you are not careful, you don't wear gloves and you spend too much time with it and your fingers, that's it. I mean, we're talking about your skin coming off. That's the next level. That is how the bond of a husband and a wife ought to be. You see, and the instruction is to the husband. We should all be glued and stick together. But the husband is being specifically instructed that, look, whenever you have a specific instruction, just know that then there's a problem with that. You see, if I came to this room right now, I walked in, and I said, oh, everybody drink water. Make sure you drink 8 cups of water every day. You see, then I turn to Sister Monica and I say, drink your water. Oh, water. I'm sorry. I said water. Water. Make sure you drink your water. You see, that connotes that she has a particular problem with drinking. Isn't it? So when God says cleave to a husband, it means a husband has a tendency not to cleave. Yeah. You see, I believe that men, I'm also a man. You understand? So what I'm about to say, don't take offense in it. I believe that truthfully, the limiting factor in the man's life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's only God who tames us. Yeah. Because naturally, you see, somebody sent me a WhatsApp, one of the pastors, a joke. Actually, it's not a joke, it's a real thing. And I think one of the countries in Africa, I've forgotten which country, I shared it with Lady Pastor yesterday. The guy was, they are being, you know, vetted for cabinet positions. All right? I think it was either Gambia or somewhere. What was it? Yeah. Yeah. So they had this minister, young guy who is being, you know, they questioning him and interrogating him to see if he fits. All right? And one of the questions they asked him was that, what does he say to one man, one wife? Then he laughed. Young guy, oh. He laughed. So you know how things are in this country.
You know, it's as though if you have only one wife, you're a bachelor. That's what he said. So what he's trying to say right away is, yeah, you can make me miss, but I'm going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 or 8 of them. But that is the natural course of every man. If we left you alone, you could have 3, 4 wives. Yeah. How many of you men don't believe me? That is the tendency. You see, but what limits us is God. When you have a relationship, a deep relationship with God, see, God is saying, cleave. I mean, how can you have another one when you are cleaved? When I'm glued to this chair, I sit on this chair and I'm glued to it. How do I sit in another chair? Come on, understand what I'm saying. How do I sit in another chair? I'm glued to one chair. This part of my body can handle only one chair. God is saying your part of your body should handle only one woman. Cleave. I mean, super glue to that person. Seal it. And let it be the end. From today, no more. That's how it ought to be. Wow. I said, wow. This is a godly way. And if you want your marriage to work, then this is the way you got to do. Your marriage cannot work when you are... You see, sometimes people ask me in church. Recently, I was talking to someone. The person said, do you know that there are a lot of people in church who are doing bad things? It's not like we don't know. Yeah. I said, really? My... This is, nobody's going to own up. Yeah. But what I'm saying to you, see, it's not everything that we say every day. We preach the word. And we hope that as we preach the word, your life will be corrected and changed. And your life will become better. You see, so if I've not said it to you before, I'm saying it to all of you that a man should have one wife. You can't have a girlfriend. Yeah. If you have a girlfriend, when we close, just call. I just call to say it's over. It's over. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise and glory. Amen. We'll continue next week. You see, I intended to just preach a little bit about marriage during Valentine's. It's becoming a long series. But I believe it's important because we haven't spoken about marriage as a church. We'll do it individually. So I'll keep preaching it until I feel it's over, and then I'll stop, all right? So I'll give you more keys about a husband, and I'll give you more some keys also about a wife. If you came with your husband or wife, hold him or her hand. If you are here alone, just put your hands together, and let us pray. Every eye closed. And if you are separated, don't feel like this message is against you. It's not against you. It's the word of God. You understand? Learn it for the next time. And also learn it also so you can help other people. Amen. Father, thank you so much for every marriage that is represented here. I pray, oh God, that strength, divine strength from above will come into marriages. Let there be a refreshing of marriages in the name of Jesus. Let, oh God, things that work against marriages, things that otherwise are things that we could rather fight with the word of God by taking heed to the word of God. Let those things even disappear in the name of Jesus from our marriages. And let us, Father, jump to your word and get hooked on your word and obey your word and flow in your word, that our marriages will continue to be great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that as we even get greater in everything, our marriages also are getting greater. We give you praise and we give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you that there shall be no divorces. There shall be no separations. There shall be nothing in this church that works against marriage. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here